Hey listeners, this is Taylor McClure for CIDI 99.1 FM, and you're listening to Township's Daily News Bits. I'm here with Andrew Cadell, president of the Task Force on Linguistic Policy here in Quebec, who is following up with us on Bill 96 and what it will mean for the province. So Andrew, thank you so much for being here with us today. I really appreciate it. Can you please start off by telling us a little bit about the Task Force on Linguistic Policy and what your mission is?
It's a pleasure, Taylor. Thanks for inviting me. We came together about a year ago when Bill 96 was first put forth before the National Assembly. And initially, you know, people said, oh, it's good for French. There's nothing really that's that significant in it. But when our lawyers began to look at it, we realized that it was really a significant change in Bill 101. It wasn't just reinforcing it. It was making changes that would be have real personal and individual effects on virtually every single Anglophone Quebecer and in many ways on every Quebecer.
Okay. And could you please define or describe Bill 96 for our listeners and what exactly it is for people who may not be aware or who may not be informed as to what it is?
Sure. It's a 100-page bill, which has 200 and more amendments in it, which will probably be passed by the National Assembly in a couple of weeks. The bill purports to be a reinforcing of the Charter of the French Language in response to what is being perceived in Quebec as a decline in the use of the French language. Real research, real demographic research shows that that's not really true. There has been a decline in the last census. There was a decline of 79.6 to 79.1% of Quebecers who are mother tongue francophone, which is to say, talking about people that are of la vieille souche, as we say, people that are can trace their ancestry back to the 17th century, even though there's been a slight decline in the numbers of people whose original mother tongue was French. The numbers of people who speak French in Quebec is greater than any time since the 18th century, since the British first came to Quebec. So there is no decline in French. There's a decline in the numbers of people who are white, Catholic, and French mother tongue, who are of la vieille souche. But that's a function of the population in many ways, because as the population increases and the birth rate of Quebecois de souche declines, there is bound to be fewer people as a percentage. But because of Bill 101, since 1977, all people coming to Quebec have gone to French school, and therefore they have become, by and large, 50 to 75% of people who are of other mother tongue have become francophones and use French in their work life and in their daily life.
I wanted to ask you what regulations within Bill 96 or laws within Bill 96, whatever they may be, has become a growing concern for the Task Force on Linguistic Policy, and why have they become a growing concern for the group?
Well, I mean, to start off, the numbers of people in a business that are required to be to speak that, well, for a business to speak to use French in its daily operations, the numbers of people required used to be 50. That's going to be lowered to 25. So if you have a business of 25 people or 26 people, you're going to be required to have a francisation committee. You're going to be required to operate in French, which means that in between individuals, you're supposed to be writing memos in French, exchanging emails in French, and maybe even working on the shop floor in French. For a lot of small businesses, it's not only is difficult because you may have people of many languages that are using English as a common language, or you may have people that are part of a family that are of an extended family that are all speaking English, and there's more than 25 people in that business. And then on top of that, the Federation of Small Businesses says this could add up to between $9 and $25 million in extra expenses to establish a francisation committee and to convert everything in a business to French, which is an expense that a lot of small businesses can't handle. So that's one thing. Then, of course, we've got the issue of the colleges, where the limits on the numbers of people who can, of Anglophones who can attend, is limited to 17% of the total number of students in Cégeps. So that's been capped. And so, therefore, if you happen to be Anglophone or want to go to an Anglophone Cégep, the numbers of students are going to be limited. Let's say right now if it were 100,000, that means 17,000 places. That's going to be a problem in terms of Cégep budgets. As you know, 1.2 million Quebecers use English as their first official language spoken. And although the Quebec government says it's only 600,000, they talk about historic Anglophones, there's actually 1.2 million people. So that means that there's a lot of people that are both wanting to use those institutions, the hospitals and schools, social welfare, what have you, that won't be able to do it in English. And second of all, the fact that we are 1.2 million means that we're paying taxes to the tune of about $5 billion a year. And so we should be receiving services in return for the taxes that we pay to Quebec. So that's just sort of a nut in the nutshell. But I mean, there's so many other things. I mean, there's not only language of work provisions, there's not only the issue of communicating in French with the government. As of when the bill passes, any immigrant to Quebec is going to be given 6 months to be able to speak English with Quebec government officials, and which means Revenue Quebec, welfare, whatever department, and then after that they'll be cut off. They won't be allowed to be speaking English. And for anybody who is not an quote-unquote historic Anglophone, that is somebody who might have come here 70 years ago from Poland, and their first language was Polish, they would not be considered to be an historic Anglophone, even though for the last seven decades they would have been speaking English.
Yeah, can you dive into that a little bit more? The historical Anglophone, that is kind of a confusing and not a very clear term.
I mean, my father went to school in Scotland for most of his childhood, and although he came to Canada when he was 14, so he would not be eligible as a parent to get what is called an admissibility certificate. And the admissibility certificates were given out after Bill 101 to those children whose parents had attended an English school initially in Quebec, and then with a court challenge it was made initially in anywhere in Canada. So if your parent went to school anywhere in Canada, especially in Quebec, in English, then you have the right to go to an English school, and you get this admissibility certificate. But the admissibility certificates were only given out after 1977. So it would be children that were born after 1972 who would have them. Well, my parents are both dead, so I don't have any proof of where they were educated. And I was born before 1972, and so I have no proof of where I was educated. So I don't have an admissibility certificate. So I could be considered not to be an historic Anglophone. Now, I am. I mean, my roots in Quebec go back to 1640, so I'm actually an historic Francophone too. But for some people, they may not qualify. And when you're throwing around these terms like historic Anglophones, then you get the question is, well, how do you identify these people? Are we supposed to get an ID card? Is there going to be a list of people that qualify? I mean, the bureaucracy, the nonsense of it is it goes to a certain absurdity. And so therefore, the Premier and Mr. Jean Barrette, the Justice Minister, should not be talking about historic Anglophones. It should be simply, if you're an Anglophone person, just as it is now, prior to the Act being passed, to the bill being passed, if you're an Anglophone person and you want to speak to the government of Quebec in English, then you should be able to push 9 or 2 or whatever it is and speak to the person in English. And the same thing if you're talking to your doctor or you're talking to your social worker or you're talking to anybody that's in any kind of authority, you should be able to speak English to that person if you do not speak French. And if your French is not good enough to be able to get the details of something. And that, you know, that's the way it works right now. And it's everybody seems to be accommodated. And this really affects the people in your area. There are about 250,000 Quebecers who speak English only. And interestingly enough, those are the people that are on the margins of society. You have people who are indigenous, because out of the 12 First Nations communities in Quebec, the major ones, 10 speak English as their first language, as their second language, after their First Nations or their indigenous language. Second, there are people who are from the Caribbean who speak mostly or only English. There are people from Asia, from Hong Kong, from India, where they would have learned English as a major second language, and that's one of the reasons that they came to Canada. Third, there are people who are from Eastern Europe, where, like Ukraine, where 20% of the people speak English. So the new refugees that are coming, many of them will be speaking English. And then finally, the elderly, who never had the chance really to learn French properly, and there are the rural poor, who have not had the access to schooling that that some people have had, or the exposure to French, and therefore they don't speak French. So these are really the people that we should be standing up for and fighting for, and these are the people that are going to be affected the most by Bill 96.
Yes, because from what I'm understanding, in order to access like health and social services, for example, any type of service, you need to prove that you're a historical Anglophone, if I'm correct in saying this.
Well, that's the potential of it. Right now, okay, all you do is you say, I'd like to speak to, you know, I'd like to go to my doctor and speak English. I mean, there is a guarantee in the Constitution for trials in English. And for anything that submits from the, is issued from a court or issued from the legislature to be provided in English. Now, the Justice Minister, in something that's completely unconstitutional and counter to a ruling by head of the Judges Council, wants to make it so that not all judges in Quebec be bilingual. Well, if that happens, it means that not all trials can be conducted in English, and therefore Anglophones might not have the legal rights that they currently have. And because in terms of the application of justice, the application of the Constitution, it just might not be possible for the administration to fulfill the standards that are set in the Constitution. As for services between doctors and patients, there were 500 doctors in Montreal who signed a letter who said that they were concerned that they would no longer be able to treat their patients in English if they were not quote-unquote historic Anglophones, if English was not their mother tongue, or they were not of certain background. And so that means that, you know, treating an elderly Chinese patient whose first language is Chinese, that the doctor would not be able to treat them in either Chinese or in English, but would have to provide all the information in French. Now, the Justice Minister and the Premier have both said that this is not going to happen, that this, you know, the health and social services will be provided in English and nothing will change. The problem is that experts, legal experts, and the doctors themselves look at the law and they say, sorry, that's not the way the law reads. So either you should read your law or you should change it or make an exemption so that things will be quite, you know, really clear, because right now they're very ambiguous.
Okay, so if it's passed, it can have an extreme impact here on our access to services, it seems, if passed.
It could, but we, you know, but the problem is that nobody really knows until there's a test to prove it.
Yes.
And it would be better, as Eric Maldoff has said, Eric's the head of an organization representing patients in Quebec, and he's one of the top lawyers in Montreal, has said that the government would be better off exempting social and health services from the law, and therefore there would be no concern about whether or not, you know, this is going to end up in court or whether people are not going to be served. Now, the whole other thing that I'm concerned about in terms of the law is that when a government makes a law, it provides a sanction or an encouragement of a certain behavior. You know, you put up a stop sign, means that you're supposed to stop at that corner, and if you don't, then there's a fine. So when a government does these things, it gives a message, sends a message to the population, this is a good thing or this is a bad thing. Well, what they're doing by attacking essentially the Anglophone community and restricting in so many ways the possibilities of being able to use English in the operations of, you know, in government or social services or even businesses, what it means is to the average person, you know, we're not going to be able to speak you shouldn't be speaking English on the street or at a restaurant or whatever. You know, people are going to sort of get that message that English is a bad thing. And, you know, the fact is that most Anglophone Quebecers are bilingual, just as I am. They are proud of the fact that that they speak French, and they want to encourage the flourishing of French. And they don't see reducing English as being the way to improve French. The way to improve French is to make it, is to encourage people who come here to speak French, to encourage generations of people that live here that they should speak French as well as whatever their mother tongue is, and to use and to improve the quality of French, and on the Francophone side, certainly to reduce the dropout rates and to improve the quality of French that's taught, because there are significant problems with that. I mean, I get quite very often complimented on the quality of my French from Francophones, and that, you know, shouldn't be the case, because I'm relatively fluent, but my French is, you know, it shouldn't be better than a Francophone's, let's say.
You pinpointed something before, you specified the Anglophone population, but it seems as well, from what I'm getting from you, that's not only going to affect the Anglophone population, but all minority languages that contribute to the fabric here in our province.
Well, the issue has been, and this is the way it's been sort of shaped or formed by nationalists, that Montreal is becoming too English. Well, Montreal is a cosmopolitan city which has, I've read, the greatest degree of multilingualism, or what they call polyglottisme, in the world. Means that there are more people who speak either two or three or four languages in the metropolitan area of Montreal than any other place in the world. And that should be something we should be really proud of. Instead, it's seen as something that's negative, that people are speaking all these other languages plus English, instead of being unilingual French. But if you go back 50 years, Montreal was much more English than it is now. It was much less cosmopolitan, and it certainly was much less bilingual. So there's one hell of a lot of things that have improved in Montreal rather than declined. And yet, nationalists say, oh, the worst thing is that Montreal is becoming an English city. It's not. It's a multicultural, multilingual, diverse, cosmopolitan city that's quite unique in all the world.
Yeah, and if this bill is implemented, it might eliminate that, basically.
Well, it could. It certainly could have the effect of reducing it. And the reason, and you know, it's sort of a law that's seeking a problem that doesn't really exist. Because when, you know, I mean, Francophones will say, well, I hear so much English spoken in downtown Montreal. Well, first of all, there's about 25,000 students at McGill in downtown Montreal. There's 35,000 students at Concordia, and there's another 5,000 at Dawson. So there you go. You've got about, 65,000 people in the downtown core who speak English. So there's bound to be people speaking English in downtown Montreal. But, you know, whenever I go to downtown Montreal, what really strikes me is that I'll see people who are not, you know, obviously original settlers from the 17th century who are sitting and chatting in French together. And there'll be people that are from Asia, they'll be from Africa, they'll be from all over, and they're sitting and using French as their common language. And that, to me, shows that Bill 101 has been a success in that it has integrated so many people from elsewhere into the Francophone community. But what is really interesting is that many of those people are trilingual. They're not just bilingual, or unilingual. They speak French, they speak English, and of course they speak their mother tongue. So they're, you know, it's pretty extraordinary. We're getting very European when you get down to people, you know, having people like that living in your city.
I was wondering, from your perspective, if this bill is passed, how do you think it will change the landscape of this province?
Well, I mean, first of all, there's going to be an enormous number of court challenges, which Monsieur Legault can respond in one or two ways. He can say, well, you know, maybe we made some mistakes and we didn't expect that there would be court challenges. Or he'll say, aha, this is proof that Quebec can't be in Confederation because, you know, all these laws that we're trying to pass to defend French are are being declared unconstitutional and being thrown out. So therefore, we've got to become, we've got to be separate, which is what he promised. He promised that there would never be a referendum under a CAC government. Well, you know, this may be a way of setting things up. And we know that Simon-Jolette Barrette is in very much the sort of the traditional nationalist, Péquiste sort of camp within the CAC. So, you know, I really can't trust him any more farther than I can throw him. And I would say the same thing from Mr. Legault as well. So that there's going to be disruptions. There obviously are going to be court cases. There'll be a lot of acrimony. You'll see a lot of demonstrations one way or another. And it doesn't have to be this way. It really doesn't. There are a lot more positive ways of doing things. The really good thing though is that in the French press, finally, we're seeing people that are saying, you know, this isn't doing anything to improve French. All it's doing is attacking, Anglophones. And those voices are growing. So, it's a little late because the bill will be passed, but, perhaps as the court cases drag on, there will be more and more opinions that will say, you know, this is really not the smartest law ever presented before the National Assembly.
And I know that the Task Force on Linguistic Policy was a part of a demonstration that took place in Montreal last weekend. Can you just speak a little bit about that and how that demonstration went? And is this one of the first steps that the group is taking to stand up for the rights of Anglophones here in the province?
Well, the rally, I think, was great in that there were people who came together and were able to express their opinion in a peaceful, you know, proper way, which was really positive. And the feeling on the street was just so positive, and nobody had a negative thing to say, and the people who spoke, none of whom were politicians, all talked about their own personal experiences. Like, there was a woman whose mother had worked 8 hours a day, had studied 8 hours a day, and then gone to work for 8 hours until midnight in order that she could speak French, operate in French, and still maintain a lifestyle for her children. There was an Indigenous person who talked about how this was going to affect Indigenous students. There were people from students, like a student from Dawson College, who talked about how they would be affected by the bill. I mean, it was really a very, very positive event. And then the fact that 10,000 people showed up was extraordinary. And what we all said to each other, because it was true, was for every person there, there were 100 people there who would have liked to have been there and just couldn't come because they couldn't drive in from the townships. They couldn't come from the Lower North Shore. They couldn't come from the Pontiac. They couldn't come from the Chateauguay Valley. They couldn't come from the West Island. But we were all there in their place. And so we were representing a million English-speaking Quebecers.
Those are all my questions that I had for you, Andrew, but I wasn't sure if there was anything else that you wanted to mention that you think would be important for people to know about or for people to be aware of in terms of this bill.
Yeah, well, the one thing that I think that people should know is that our organization, the Task Force on Linguistic Policy, is a moderate federalist, very much a bilingual organization that is working to support individuals and to fight for the rights of Anglophones and English-speaking people across Quebec, as well as minority Francophones in the rest of the country. And so if you go to our website, protectourrights.ca, or protégernosdroits.ca, you'll find information about Bill 96, but also about us. And we would really like to get more people to join us. We currently have about 1,500 members. We'd like to have a lot more. And we'd also... we also need money in order to develop a secretariat so that we can be more and more effective and do legal challenges and do advertising to promote Anglophone issues especially in the French media. So those are the sorts of things that we do. And we write op-eds and we see ourselves not as a competitor to the QCGN or other organizations. We look at ourselves as a complement to them so that we can support the rights of individuals, whereas they work with institutions and organizations. We want to work with, bring together individuals. And I think there is really a role for that. We're going to fill that. And so we're we've only been in operation for a year, but so far I think we've done a lot of really, really great things.
Well, thank you so much, Andrew. I really appreciate your time and for providing that clarity for our listeners. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Taylor. My very best to everybody out in the touch.
Township's Daily News Bits is a program sponsored by Local Journalism Initiative.